The invisible advantage that most people miss, how you can really take what you're doing to the next level. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast with great Francis Jones. Francis, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you. You know, Francis, we've talked a lot about the success you've experienced in life, both personally and professionally. And you really have leveraged this invisible advantage that we're going to be talking about today. And that is relationships. Because at the end of the day, it really comes down to relationships and how you leverage those relationships. But Francis, you've been able to not only leverage relationships to experience tremendous success, but you also continue to have relationships with these individuals long after it's been quote unquote advantageous to you in a business or professional setting.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, relationships, and I don't want to try and minimize or quantify, or I don't know what the right word is, but I don't want to try and treat it as a commodity, but it really is. And if you view relationships as a commodity, then it becomes a problem. But they are a commodity, meaning I have no desire to see my relationships with people end just because they don't currently serve a purpose for me. There is a give and a get in everything, right? Give and a take, right? So give, you take in every relationship, right? You know, and we grew up at a time, my dad, my dad really well. He never was fond of the saying that relationships are 50-50. He's like, the relationships aren't 50-50. They can be 50-50, but sometimes they're 90-10. And sometimes they're 75-25. Sometimes you're going to have to give more than 50 in order to maintain the relationship. Now, there comes a law of diminishing returns. And at some point, if you're the one doing all the giving, then it's not going to work out. But,
right.
But if you understand how relationships work, there's ebb and flow, and you understand that that people come into and out of your lives at various times, your life at various times, then you understand the importance of maintaining relationships and leaving those relationships better than you found them, right? And so that's really what I think creates that upward lift for you, is if you recognize that it's not goodbye, it's just farewell for now. And so I refuse with anyone I want to maintain a relationship, I refuse to say, hey, this is it. Have a good life. I hope everything works out for you. I honestly 100% say to them, our paths will cross again. Now, will they? I don't know, but I believe they will. And I'm going to treat the relationship as such, right? And it's not because I think I can get something from them. It's because I think that that relationship is important to both of us. And at some point, I think it's going to circle back around and it's going to be advantageous for the both of us.
Okay. But let me ask you this, Francis. So people, and I think everyone listening is going, okay, I get that, Francis. I do also value that same thing. But when people say you need to leverage relationships to be successful, or when they interview some super successful individual and they say, how did you achieve such a high level of success? And they'll say, it's because of the relationships I had and the way I was able to use those relationships. How do you navigate using relationships without people feeling used?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing is, it's easier sometimes to say it than it is to do it, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, right? And that is that if you really believe, if your goal is to see what you can do to help them, then the focus isn't on me. I'm not worried about what they can do for me. And then at some point, I think it's going to come back around either with them or with karma or whatever you want to talk about. So all that to say is, I think if you can genuinely focus on what you can do to help somebody else, I think you're going to have more things come back to you than you can possibly know how to deal with, right? And so you can't do this if people believe that you're just using them to get what you want.
Well, because we've all felt that. We've all had experiences like that before. And I think that's why people get nervous when I suggest that, hey, relationships are how you really achieve a higher level of success, right? They get nervous because they have that trauma from feeling used.
Well, but you only feel used if you are not putting them first. Like, I can't say to you, Chad, what can I do to support you? And then when you tell me what I can do to support you, I think he's just using me. Well, then I wasn't really being authentic when I said, what can I do to help you? Right.
Right.
Now there is there's a balance. I'm not suggesting anyone stay in a one-sided relationship or an abusive relationship or whatever, but like you get what you give. And so if I'm truly focused on what I can do to help other people, then they're going to return that. Or again, the universe, karma, God, whatever your belief structure is, it'll come back around. I promise it will.
Right.
It may not come from that individual, but it's going to come from someone. But you have to really believe it. And I think, you know, we see this in movies and TV shows all the time. See, sometimes you have to fake it till you make it, right? Mm. Sometimes you have to be like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what I can do. But if your true focus is on them, then it works every time. If it doesn't work, it's because your true focus wasn't on them. Like, it just wasn't.
Wow. That is so insightful, because the reality is we too often approach relationships trying to figure out how we can win in it. And you're right. Saying if you flip the script, if you come to a relationship and say, okay, this is what I need, but how can I help that individual be successful? It goes back to the quote we've shared before, Francis, you can have anything in this world you want if you can help enough people get what they want.
Right. This idea that we live in this world that we say there's no strings attached, asterisks, except for this, this, and this. And like it's really, really tough. It's really, really tough. You know, if in relationships, you know, if we move away from like the business world, but like personal relationships, like when you're talking about helping your spouse or one of your kids, like when you feel like you've been taken advantage of by somebody, like your spouse, or like they're not giving back to you, it's because you're selfish. You just are, man. I shouldn't speak for you. I can speak for me. Like I like to say, well, if one of the anecdotes I like to tell is, and I've told my wife, I've told this story around my wife, so I'm not speaking out of turn here. I'm a religious guy. Anyone that knows me, I'm a religious guy. And one time we had this kind of battle royale in our house, just where we were really frustrated with one another, and I couldn't sleep. So I went in the bathroom and I pulled out my scriptures, and I'm like, I'm going to find in these scriptures, I'm going to find the evidence that shows I am right and she is wrong. Chad, have I ever told you this story before?
No,
I have not. No. I'll bet you know how it ends. What did I find when I was reading?
Where what you were doing wrong.
What I was doing was wrong. Right. And it was all about me, all about me, all about me, all about me. Right. And when we take that part out of it, not only does all this stuff open up for us in terms of like the literal possibilities, it is so freeing. Our mind is so freed when we let go of those things that don't matter. If you start focusing on other people, you really, the stuff that doesn't matter just drifts away. It just does. And I'm not minimizing people's problems and their struggles. Those things are real. But attitudinally, I can't always control whether I can pay my bills or whether I'm sick or healthy or whether someone breaks up with me or fires me. I can't always control that. But what can I control? How I feel about it and what I do about it. And that is by turning myself outward and what can I do to support others. That's where it's going to happen for me. At some level, it doesn't mean I'm going to get well. It doesn't mean I'm going to keep my job. It doesn't mean my relationships are going to that relationship's going to work out. But if you trust in this big picture, the karma, it will work out. We just have to let go of the strings that we had tied to what that means.
You know, and we've talked about this so many times on this podcast, on the show, Francis, that everyone's favorite subject's themselves, right? When we share that, no one is surprised by that. No one is like, wait, what? Everyone knows that everyone's favorite subject's themselves. But when you start giving more, and you start looking to see how other people can win, that is indeed the invisible advantage. It really is helping other people win. It will endear you to them, to others. And what I mean by that, let me just give a quick example. There was this girl by the name of Ashlyn Hastings. And Ashlyn Hastings is just this incredible giving person. Okay, she was the age of my children. And some of my older children, and she just, she would just give all the time. Well, because of that, Frances, she was one of the most well-liked people you'll ever meet. And because she was giving, 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 doing the very thing that you're talking about. Well, she was in a pretty bad four-wheeler accident with her cousin. And her mouth had to be wired shut because of the way her jaw was broken. And it was just, so anyway, I was talking to her in front of a group of people. And I was like, Ashlyn, oh my goodness, that's awful, that terrible experience. And she goes, yeah. And she's trying to talk because her mouth is wired shut. And I said, what can we do for you? Right. And she goes, would you pray for my cousin? He was the one that was driving the four-wheeler, and he feels horrible about my injuries. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, what we want to now do more for you, right?
Right.
Because her first thought wasn't about herself. It was about her cousin. And that's really what becomes game-changing. And if you think to yourself, okay, how can I look outside of myself? And that's what you do naturally, Frances. And this is why I love talking about the subject with you, is because you're always looking outward. You're always looking as to how you can help other people. Like Ashlyn Hastings in that instance, you know, if she created this list of things that, well, someone could do this, someone could do this, someone could do this, no one would want to do it. But because of the way she said that and was looking outside of herself, everyone wanted to help her.
Well, I would actually challenge just a little bit. I think everyone would want to do it, but I think they'd want to do it even if she didn't say it, right? So because she's built up so much goodwill and she's got so much in the bank, right? She's got so much in the kindness bank, whatever you want to call it. People would jump at the chance to serve her. But when she says, hey, can you take care of this individual or think about this individual, that you're still going to get those things. I guarantee people still served her,
right?
Even if she didn't ask for it, right? And I get it. You know, there are people we look around and they're so successful and you know they don't think about them others first. They focus on themselves. But really, if you really close your eyes and you really are honest with yourself, would you really trade places with them?
Oh.
I just am not sure that you would, because they're the measure of success for them is different than what the measure of success might be for you. And so it's really important to focus, right? When I used to train all the time, I used to train people in human resources. And one of the things we said is every human being operates on a radio station, WIIFM, right? What's in it for me, right?
Right.
And that's the reality, is what am I going to get from this? And the more you focus on what you can give to this, the more you'll get from it. And so I think that's really, really critical. You know, I went, and for me, Chad, there's been a transformation for me, maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I was really struggling. And I like to think that I was always someone that felt this way and did this. And I think I have been a person that did it, but I don't think I've did it the right way. Because I think I functioned in a world in which I was okay with serving you as long as you were going to do what I thought you should do in response. Like, I'm okay to do this, but you had better say thank you. You better pay me this. You better this. And so I was living in kind of a different world. And so I did this kind of a couple day seminar where they kind of get in your head and help you rethink the way you look at things. And one of our assignments was to go out and talk to someone that you had been struggling with, that you'd had an argument with, or that you had been dealing with, and to work through your responsibility in the breakdown of that relationship, right? Well, Chad and I aren't friends anymore. What's my responsibility in that, right? And then when we got back the next day, they said, who wants to tell us how it went? And they went and they told us, like, this is, you got to be vulnerable. It's going to get raw. Like, we need to. So this woman raised her hand. First thing, she hand shot straight up in the air and she was going to go up on stage. So he called her up and he knew what was happening. None of the rest of us did. Because she was not doing like, I'm so excited. She was doing like, I've got something for you. And so she got on stage and she said, I called my mom, or my dad is her dad. And they had a falling out years ago. And she said, I just want to tell you, Dad, that I am sorry for the role that I played in our relationship falling apart. I could have done this, this, and this better. And his response was, it's about time you realized it. And so she was on stage and she said to the leader of this group, it didn't work. And the guy's like, it didn't work because you didn't do it right. Like, the point of this was for you to accept your responsibility, not to make them accept responsibility. So if we spend our entire life focused on making sure that they do what they're supposed to do, what I think they're supposed to do, it's not, that doesn't work. But if she had gone there and truly been like, I am letting go of what I did, that doesn't mean she should maintain a relationship with him or whatever, right? I'm not saying you should stay with your abuser or whatever, but it works if you truly believe that you had responsibility for what happened. But she did lip service, right? And so the same thing is true with building and keeping relationships. If I go to you and I say, Chad, what can I do to help you? Okay. Oh, okay. But, and, oh, you want to help me? Okay, good. Like that, it doesn't work. It's transparent. It's see-through, you know, So I was thinking about this as we decided to talk about this. A couple of things that I think that you have to do. Number one is you have to assume positive intent. You have to assume positive intent, meaning that when someone does something or says something, there is a reason that I may not understand for why that's happening. They may have been, stubbed their toe. They may have gotten news about a parent. They may have gotten news about a job. And so it's not all about me.
Right.
It's not about me, right? And so we like to make it about us, like you said earlier. So if we assume positive intent, the reason they were angry or frustrated or didn't do what they thought they were going to do or didn't do what they said they were going to do, it might be something outside of me. Like your friend, if someone said they were going to do something for me and they didn't, why can't I think, wow, I hope everything's okay? They're usually really reliable.
Right.
They normally do that. I wonder what's going on. Rather than blow up at them for not having done it or forget I'm not going to talk to them or whatever, which leads to my second big thing, I think, is that holding a grudge. There is no benefit to holding grudges. There is not at all. There's nothing good that comes from holding a grudge. You can part ways and not want to be in a relationship without holding a grudge. You can say, I wish you the best in life. Good luck. Go with God. I'm fine with that. But I'm not interested in continuing down this road with you, but I hope it works out for you, right? Holding a grudge does not benefit, doesn't serve anybody. We think, like this person, I'm going to show them, right? My mom told me once when I was like 7, 8 years old, I was in my room, I was crying about something. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, well, this kid at school is really mean to me. And she's like, do you like this kid? I said, I don't really like him. She's like, why would you give that much control to someone you don't like? I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, you're sitting in your room. All your friends and brothers are outside playing, having fun, and you're in your room crying. And I said, well, he made me mad. And she's like, well, you've given him control. Someone you don't even like. You don't care if they like you. You've given them control of your day. And that was like really powerful. Now, that is so much easier said than done, Chad.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But if you can assume positive intent, don't hold grudges, and you look to serve first, man, you'll be surprised at how much flows into your life. And even if it's just the emotional freedom that you feel, man, it is so worth it.
Well, and that's why you've been so successful managing relationships that have benefited you both in business and in life. It's just that you've assumed positive intent and you don't hold a grudge, because that those two go really hand in hand. Because sometimes, Francis, I know you have reached out to potential business venture or individuals that you wanted to do a business venture with or whatever, and they didn't respond maybe as quickly as you had hoped. And you don't hold that grudge. You assume that positive intent. And then when you do reach contact or have contact with that individual, you give. And so as you think about it, and people listening are going, wait a second, I haven't had the level of success with working relationships in business or leveraging relationships. Well, think about those three things that Francis just outlined, with number one being, are you assuming positive intent? Two, are you refraining from those grudges or holding those grudges? Those grudges often, Francis, are because of or a byproduct of not assuming positive intent, right?
100%.
And then that number third, that third one, give, the one that people just forget to do.
Yeah. It assuming positive intent is really important. It's important on a lot of levels, right? And again, I'm not suggesting to anybody that you stay in abusive relationships. That's right. Abusive relationships or one-sided relationships. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you can play, one of the things we talk about in Academy is the five whys, right? Well, what is it you want out of life? Well, I want to have a nice house. Why? Well, because I want to be comfortable and I want to have somewhere nicer than my family. Why? Like, you drill down and you, the five whys, right? If you assume positive intent and you keep drilling down, eventually you're going to get to something that is logical as to why they may be acting the way they're acting. It doesn't make their behavior okay necessarily, right?
Right.
But there may be a reason that they're acting the way they're acting. I don't want to be around it, but that removes that grudge, right? It removes that whole idea of I'm going to carry this with me because it doesn't serve us, right?
Right.
I read an article weeks ago, and I talked to my buddy who's a therapist, and one of the challenges that modern day therapists are having is their Monday morning quarterbacking the way parents raise their kids. And so kids from 20 years ago are going to therapy and they're angry at the world because their mom said they shouldn't eat that cupcake because they're putting on a little bit of weight, right?
Right.
It's possible their mom is just a terrible person and doesn't want what's best for the daughter, but more likely the mom was just doing the best she knew how to do, right? Mm. And the article took it a step further and said study after study after study has shown people that can't let go of that stuff are much, they're not happy. They're not happy at all. You have to let go of those things. And when we go and we say, now I'm going to assign blame for that, there is someone's responsible. But if I spend all my time focusing on the blame, it becomes really problematic. You know, we're old enough to remember the Oklahoma City bombings, right?
Right.
And I watched just not too long ago a documentary on it on Netflix, I think. And my dad talked to me about this. And you listen to the parents of the people that were killed in that blast. And there were two distinct groups of parents. And you had parents that were interviewed that had let it go. Listen, there's not much worse that can happen to you than having your child
right
or loved one right. killed. Right. Murdered, brutally murdered. But those that were able to move past it and say, listen, I forgive him. Like I have to forgive him. And those that said, I want to see him fry. And I remember my dad talking to me because I watched a news report and they interviewed everyone leading up to the execution, everyone that wanted to be interviewed. And then after the execution and those they interviewed before, he's going to see justice. I'm going to watch him burn. He's going to pay for killing my daughter. And then they interviewed him later. And not surprisingly to my dad, and they didn't feel any relief. There was no relief because killing him didn't bring their child back.
Right.
The only thing that brings relief is forgiveness and letting it go. And that's, I know that's not the intent of this particular podcast, but in terms of holding grudges, like if you want to move forward and you look at these people, even on the documentary, those that have held on are still so angry. They haven't moved forward, man. They look defeated. It just doesn't work, right? And I'm not here to tell anyone how they should behave. I've tried my best to remove from my language the shoulds and shouldn'ts, right? Like should and shouldn't. I've tried to replace that with what might work better than another. What's workable? What works better? What might work better for you is to do this versus that. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. It's not my place to say you should or shouldn't, but what works better for me and what might work better for you is this, what is more workable. And in those instances, I think it works better to let go than it does to hang on. Now, someone may say, listen, screw you. I'm going to do what I want to do. Great. That's fine.
Well,
that's
and the challenge, Francis, is when they don't manage relationships the way that you just outlined with those three steps, when they don't do it, it actually carries over to other relationships as well.
Yeah.
And so even when you are frustrated that maybe this particular contact didn't help you as much as you had hoped in this business setting or this, and maybe you've gone through four or five of those contacts, maybe 14 or 15 or even more. But if you don't take those three steps that you just outlined, Francis, then it will most definitely linger on, carry over, and prevent you from establishing the relationship with someone down the road that could really help you when that other person did not.
It absolutely is. You know, a mentor of mine, I've mentioned her before, Elizabeth Pitt, she has a famous saying, and I don't know if she made it up, as my dad used to say, if you steal it from me, it means it's been stolen twice, says how you do anything is how you do everything.
Right.
And I know that has some limitations, but if you're finding that your relationships, like in one area of your life, aren't working really well, because this principle isn't being applied, it's probably true in other relationships as well.
Absolutely.
If you practice on those that you know and you love and that you're intimate with and that your relationships that you're close to, if you really focus there, it'll bleed into the other parts of your life and vice versa. So if I hold grudges, if I am manipulative, if I'm using relationships to get what I want and that's it, it's very likely I'm doing that in my own home and in my friend groups and whatever. And if we think about it, all of us know people that we feel that way about, right? That we feel Absolutely. Like, listen, I don't really want to go to them because I feel like I'm going to have to give something in return or whatever, right? And so that's one of those relationships that I'm just not interested in maintaining the same way. And no grudges. I don't like you go with God, do what you want to do, but I don't want to maintain that relationship on an individual basis. But how you do anything is how you do everything. And that is that with some limitations is largely a true statement.
I love it. Love it, Francis. This invisible advantage most people miss is something that you have to be intentional about. You have to work on and apply those three things that Francis just outlined for us and watch your success improve. Watch your ability to connect improve as you do those three things.
Frankly. And I bet you, anyone watching this, you practice this in a very short amount of time, someone you know will say to you, what's different? Like, what's changed?
I love that.
I promise you, they will notice the difference.
I love that. Love that, Francis. Love what you shared. Great being with you, like always. Have a tremendous day, everyone.
See ya.
Bye now.